أعوذ بالله في الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه من سن بسنة يوم الدين، أما بعد. Last week we stopped with the name of Allah سبحانه وتعالى الجبار and قهار and قاهر, and we explained how Allah سبحانه وتعالى compels جبار, meaning the compeller, that he compels people to change their hearts, to change their minds, to agree to something. And that is one of the properties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this shows His authority and power, that if somebody has made up their mind to do something, Allah compels them to come to terms and then go the other way. Or the other way, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there are two brothers fighting each other, but then there is sulh between them, and Allah compels their hearts to become one and unity together. Today we'll continue with the names of Allah and finish it off. The next name we have is Al-Hasib. Al-Hasib comes from Hisab, literal meaning, which is the reckoner, or the one who does accountability, accounts for our actions and our deeds. Like Allah tells us in the Quran, many different places in the ayats, like in Surah Nisa, Allah tells us, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا, and Allah is sufficient to judge someone or to account someone. Part of the name is connected to the issue. The other name of Allah is Al-Hakamu. Hakamu meaning the judge. Al-Adilu, the just. Meaning when Allah comes to judging, He is just and fair. Doesn't do dhulm to anybody. So when Allah judges someone, when He's Hakam, and when He's Adil, He's just, and He's also a reckoner, accounts them for their amal, doesn't leave behind anything. Every single minutest detail is taken care of. In another ayah, Allah tells us in the Quran, أَنَا لَهُ الْحُكُمْ وَهُوَ أَسْرَعُ الْحَاسِبِينَ. The issue of judging or judgment or court system or ruling is that it should be speedy, fast, and affordable. The reason in this world today there is corruption and there is so much malfunctioning is because the court systems, whether it's the third world countries, the poor countries, or whether it's the superpowers, the court system, the system of judgment, system of reckoning, has become corrupt because it takes more time and it takes more money. So then people lose trust and credibility in the issue of judging. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the contrary, tells us that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of judgment, there will be a mammoth, a huge court, the biggest court of everything, the universe, the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the judge. Allah is the hakim, al-adil, and hakim. And that's where in Surah Teen, when you recite what Teen was Zaytun, the last ayah in that surah, what does Allah tell us? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Isn't Allah certainly indeed the best of judges? أَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ in the sense of implementation. That when Allah comes to judging, doesn't He know every single thing about you? And then when He gives a decision about you, doesn't He already know what judgment and what decision is good for you? أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ هَذَا سُؤَالِ اسْتِفْهَامِيَّ. And the sunnah of Rasulullah is that when we read this ayah, the last ayah of Surah Teen, we're supposed to say it silently in our hearts, بَلَى يَا رَبِّ وَنَحْنُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. That certainly, or certainly indeed, O my Lord, I witness that You are the أَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. So when Allah talks about the issue of حَكَم and حُكُم and حَاكِم and عَادِل, just comes the also the word Al-Hasib. Hasib from Hisab, accountability. And such accountability that is not at all flawed. Accountability in this dunya by anyone, any human being, when they come to the court, to the judge, they may give an accountability that is flawed. Why? Because human beings are limited. Whereas Allah is unlimited. And also the other names of Allah come into understanding, As-Sami'u, Al-Basiru, Al-Khabiru, Al-Alimu, Al-Hakimu. All these names are interrelated, that give us an understanding that Allah is sufficient and very strict in reckoning to the accounts of people. Next name we have is Al-Hadi. Hadi meaning the guide. هو الذي يهدي. He is the one who guides people. And that's what Allah tells us in the Quran to Rasulullah directly and then to all of us, that it is not upon us to guide people. We are merely just da'is. We are just people, callers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way. We have no power and no authority and no qudra, no capability we have in our hands to guide anyone. The most we can do is give them da'wah and then make du'a. These are two things that the Rasulullah taught us. You make du'a silently or loudly in your salah, in tahajjud, any time for someone to, that Allah may guide them, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim. Even Muslims that are bad, their family members can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Hadi to guide them. And here is where this name of Allah comes into use. That when you're making du'a, when you raise your hand, you say, Ya Hadi, Ehdi Ibni, or Ehdi Binti, Ya Hadi, Ehdi Abi, or Ummi. So in that aspect, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the sentiment of the heart of that person and opens the door of guidance. You see, many people, like this is a real life story. Just last week, last Friday, I was somewhere at a brother's house, and a brother came to visit this brother where I was there. And with this brother was a new Muslim. How old or how new? Just 1 week. A week ago, meaning last Friday, and the Friday before that, he accepted the Shahada. 21, 22-year-old young, you know, white American male, who was going to a seminary to study and become a priest and be ordained in one of the churches over here. He came across this brother on campus someplace and he met him. He's Muslim. And he asked him, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm going, I got an admission in college in a seminary and I'll be starting very soon and I will be going to study, meaning this semester, spring semester, just starting. As you know, college is just starting this spring semester. He was ready, enrolled, everything perfect, going to study, become a priest and be ordained in a church. He meets this Muslim brother, he starts a discussion with him. Subhanallah, this shows you the name of Allah Al-Had. He is enrolled in college to study Christianity, become a priest, to do da'wah of what? Christianity. And he meets a Muslim brother who only has sincerity, ikhlas in his heart, and he says, oh, by the way, did you ever study the Quran? Since you're going to study and become a priest, why not just give a shot at Quran and see what amazes you, what intrigues you? So he gives him a Quran, he reads, and they start a discussion. And within one night, the next day he comes and says, you know, I want to become Muslim. Hold on, wait a second. Yesterday, you were going to become a priest. And you're saying, you're going to leave that admission, leave that enrollment, because, you know, once you become Muslim, there's no point going to seminary, study Christianity, become a priest. That means you're going to make an about turn, 180 degrees. He said, yes. He said, ever since I've talked to you and I've been reading the Quran, I think this is the word of God. This is the thing. And now I want to become an imam. I want to study this book. I want to learn this book. And then I want to teach this book to others. Who is going to teach Christianity? Allah al-Hadi, who alladhi yahdi man yasha ila ayyisabi. Why? Just because the effort. See, we have to make the effort. This person, this brother, who became Muslim, and mashallah, he already got admission. I mean, look, when Allah Asra, Allah makes things fast. He already got admission now in Syria, and next week he's flying off, he's going to Syria, he's going to study there Arabic first for a 1 year course, and then he's going to join some Islamic university and become imam one day. See how Allah makes things. Within a flight of days, fortunes change drastically. But did Allah just happen to have him like that? No. Of course, Allah is the Hadi, but where is the Asbab? Ittakhazu bil Asbab. Where are the means? That brother, that Muslim brother, became a source of means, a resource for this person to be guided. See, Allah meant for that person to be guided. And this is what I keep saying, that this is what we as Muslims living in America should always make dua, that, oh Allah, use me. Utilize me for your da'wah, for your deen. Make me a source, a means of someone's guidance. When you have this dua, Allah will yahdi bika nas. Like this brother who's making da'wah actively, he met this person on a college campus, just talks to him casually. Little did he know that this person is going to change 180 degrees in days. He thought it's going to take a long time. But at least he tried. The moral of the story is, it's a real life story, that the brother did not give up hope. He gave him Quran. He gave him da'wah. He said, sleep over. We'll talk again tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, he doesn't want to talk. He wants to aslam, shahada. So they take him to the masjid and the imam gives him shahada, and now the brother is probably boarding a plane soon to go to Syria to learn the language of Quran and ba'adin tafsir of Quran and ba'adin the fiqh wal ulum, and now what he was going to do with Christianity he's going to do in Islam. And imagine how many people may Allah guide through him once he becomes an imam. Because first thing he's going to say when he starts to preach or when he starts to give da'wah, first thing he's going to say, I am a reborn or re-Muslim. I know Islam first time. We cannot say that. Can we claim that? No. We were born in a Muslim household. My father, my mother told me, listen, you're Muslim. My father gave azan and he called my ear. So every time I stand up, the only thing, best thing I can say, Alhamdulillah, I'm born Muslim, which is also good. But here's a brother who's going to tell his story and say, look, I was ready to become a Christian priest and preach Christianity. And Allah Al-Hadi, Allah Al-Nur, the source of light, and Allah Al-Hakim, Al-Hakim, he changed my heart. 180 degrees, and now I'm here in front of him. So he'll be going out to study. He'll study 3-4 years, whatever he is. But when he comes, subhanallah, and what a source. And this is the exact meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Hadi. وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ هَادِيًا وَنَصِيرًا وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ هَادِيًا وَنَصِيرًا النَّصْر وَالنُّصْرَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Victory and vindication is only from Allah. Allah is the one who gives victory. And that's why Allah tells in the Quran to Rasulullah, إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَهْدَدَّ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. O Prophet Muhammad sallam, O my beloved Prophet, you, إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَهْدَدَّ. You cannot guide anyone who you love. He loved dearly most who? His uncle, Amr Rasul. Say, Amr Rasul, the Abu Talib. How much he wanted him at the last, at the death, that he's saying, just say the shahada. Even if you can't say the shahada, say, yes, you agree, accept, wa ana ashfiq, and I will make shafa'ah for you, ya'am. And Allah revealed this ayah right there and then to solace, to tranquil the nafs of Rasulullah, telling him, look, innaka la tahdi man ahbabta. Man ahbabta meaning whoever you love. As much as you love someone, you say, why didn't he become Muslim? Like this brother who just become Muslim now and he's going to Syria. He loves his parents to be Muslim now, that he's become. But the moment he tells his parents, they are against him. But he, Allah guided him, but Allah hasn't meant guidance for his parents yet. But who knows, may Allah guide his parents. But he loves dearly his parents and he wants them to. Because he's tasted Islam now, although a few weeks, but he knows the deliciousness of Islam. So he loves dearly for his parents to become Muslim, but they don't. Because Allah is the one who is Hadi. إِنَّكَ لَن تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It is not you, O Muhammad sallam, that you can guide anyone, but it is Allah who guides whoever He wants. And this is a prime example. That a person right here in New Jersey, 21, 22-year-old, going to a seminary college to study priesthood and be ordained, becomes now, inshallah, an imam in a masjid. Amazing. When I just met him, I couldn't stop my tears coming up. That this is sharaf. This is ni'mah from Allah. This is gift, like God gifted. But the gift was met. Just like, I mean, listening to his story and meeting him, it reminds you of Quran, how when with Sayyidina Musa al-Islam, the Sahar, all the magicians, they came. What did they come? They came to amuse Fir'aun. They came to get their paycheck from Fir'aun. They said, Fir'aun, don't worry, this guy, we're going to take care of him. We're going to beat him in this competition, and you'll see, we'll outrun him, and he'll be gone. He won't bother you no more. But little did they know that at the moment that they're there, within few seconds, they're going to be making sujood, and they'll be guided to Islam. They did not know. Meaning, none of us knows who's going to be guided. And by the same token, nobody knows who will be remain guided. Just because we are born Muslim, does not mean that, say, khalas, I'm Muslim, till Qiyamah or till my death, I'll be Muslim. No. There are many people who have become murtad, against deen. There are many Muslims who came here in this country, Muslims who came with their parents, or who came early and they settled down here, they assimilated in society, and now they call themselves Perry Raymond. When you meet them and try to investigate more and ask them, interrogate them, you find out it was Parvez Rahman, and Parvez Rahman was 1 year old who came here in this country, and his parents were here. His parents are nowhere. He's now 45. 44 years he's been in this country and now he is no different than any other non-Muslim. It was hard to tell if Mr. Perry Raymond was really a Muslim. But when you deal with him, just because you bumped into him, I happened to bump into him and deal with something with him and ask him, say, you know, there is something about you that sounds Muslim. Oh yeah, my parents were Muslim. What about you? Well, I don't know my yourself. But what's your real name? My name was so many years ago, Parvez Rahman. What a beautiful name, Rahman and Parvez, which became transformed into Perry, P-E-R-R-Y, and Raymond. I mean, some people, they don't feel the gift of guidance. This, why I'm giving you these two examples. One example of a person who is ready to go for priesthood, becomes a Muslim, and now is going to Syria. And one who came as a Muslim, and now became something else, and doesn't feel bad about it, rather feels yaftakhir. He feels good, proud about Perry. Call me Perry. And I asked, is it okay if I call you Perry? No, I don't like that name. Left that name ages ago. Subhanallah. You have examples in this dunya, in this country, in this state of two individuals where Allah is showing His authority of the name Al-Hadi. But by the same token, Allah doesn't misguide anyone. It's the people who want to be misguided, then Allah leaves them loose, sets them loose. Gives them a kind of reminders, one or two, but then he sees that this person doesn't want to come, he or she does not want to come back to Allah, let him loose, let them go where they want to go. That's why Parvez became Perry, and Tariq become Perry. So, in fact, this is what Allah is saying, that don't take it for granted. If you're a Muslim today, don't be blindfolded and say, khalas, that's it, there's no way I can become a non-Muslim. No, you never know. You never know when the waswas of shaitan attacks so much. You never know when that slight incident can come and your whole iman is transformed and you're no longer a Muslim except by name or something else. And that is why with this name is attached another name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Mu'minu. Al-Mu'minu, the preserver, the protector of your iman. So many times when you feel that your iman is threatened, you feel weakness, make in your dua, you say, ya mu'minu, ahfiz imani, ahfiz, protect my iman, ya mu'min. In another name, ya muhayminu, muhayminu, protector, preserver, ya mu'minu, muhayminu, ahfiz imani, protect my iman. Don't let it be wasted. Because as you know, iman, yazidu wa yanqus, yazidu bi ta'at Allah, wa yanqusu bil isyan. This is the definition that the scholars, the fuqaha have given. Then iman is like a fluid. Why I say fluid? Because a fluid can be spilled, can be wasted, and can be preserved. You preserve a fluid, it will remain intact. You let it spill, it will be wasted. So iman is very fluid. Why? It increases and decreases very drastically. You do one sin, one major sin, your iman goes down the drain like this. You pray tahajjud one whole night, you read Quran one whole night, your iman goes up this way. So iman is very, very less, like viscosity is very little. It's so rampant in increasing and decreasing. And what do the scholars define? They said, iman yazidu bita'a, ta'at Allah. The more you obey Allah, the more iman will increase. Meaning, in this way, what the scholar says, your iman is never stagnant, never equilibrium. It's never in the same place. It's always moving, shifting, fluctuating. Some moments you feel a gush of iman, you feel like crying, you cry. Some moments you feel so weak in iman that you can see something at haram and you don't feel an inch of difficulty in your heart. You're looking at the haram, you're listening at the haram, but your heart does not at all say stop it. Why? Because at that level the iman is so very low that the nafs has become engaged in the fasad, haram. And that is why with the name Hadi, the name Mu'min, Muhaymin is very important to be understood. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua, we can say, Ya Mu'minu, Ya Muhaymin, Ya Quddusu, Ya Maliku, Ya Hadu, Ihdini ila Islam. And that's how we make dua. Allahumma ihdini li ahsani al-akhlaq, la yahdi li ahsaniha illa ant. O Allah, guide me to the best of akhlaq, best of manners, Islamic manners. لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت. This is a dua that is masnoon, that from the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he used to make in tahajjud, not in Zuhur, Fajr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, in tahajjud. Why? When the Sahaba asked him, لماذا يا رسول الله؟ لأن هذا هو وقت المستجاب. Who is making dua? The one about whom Allah أقسم بالقرآن. The one who, about whom Allah made an oath, qasam in the Quran, that, O Rasulullah, you are on a very high maqam of akhlaq. He is making dua, Allahumma ahdini li ahsani al-akhlaq, la yahdi li ahsaniya illa ant. Why? Because he is raising the bar. He's He's heightening the threshold level. He's saying that, look, even though I'm a prophet of Allah, even though I'm ma'soom, even though I have no zunoon, even though my akhlaq are the best, I am still guiding you or leading you as a role model to show you the way that, look, keep asking for Allah's guidance in akhlaq. Al-Hadi, Allahumma ahdini li ahsani al-akhlaq. And look in the dua, yani ma'na dua, it's very, very enlightening. Allahumma ahdini li ahsani al-akhlaq. Oh Allah, my great Allah, my beloved Allah, guide me to the best of akhlaq. Not just a mediocre akhlaq, the best that you can give me, Ya Allah. Because you are the hadi, guide. Ahdini li ahsani al-akhlaq, la yahdi li ahsaniha illa ant. No one can guide me to the best of akhlaq except you, O Allah. Not my father, not my mother, not my grandfather, not my grandmother, not my brother, sister, anything. No one can guide me to the best of akhlaq except you, O Allah. I'tiraf, you know, acceptance, acknowledgement. Allahumma ahdini li ahsani akhlaq, la yahdi li ahsaniha illa ant. And then look at the opposite. Wasrif anni sayyi'aha. لا يصرف عن سيئها إلا أنت. In the first part of the dua, he's asking, oh Allah, guide me to the best of akhlaq. In the second part of the dua, he's doing the antidote, the vitamin, vaccination. وصرف. صرف, وصرف means to take away. يزيد من, take away from me. Meaning take away from my personality. Take away from my character. What, oh Allah, take away from my personality and character? The sayyi'aha, yani sayyil akhlaq, the bad akhlaq, the bad manners, the evil of character. Take it away from me, Allah. And no one can take it away. لا يصرف عنها إلا أنت يا الله. No one can take that away except you. As much as our parents would like us to change and become better, as much as they keep telling us, become better, have good akhlaq, but they have no magic wand, no stick that they can stick in us and take away the bad akhlaq from us. Because if they have that, then every parent's job will be so easy in this world, right? Or those of us who are parents, we know. When our kids do bad, at that moment you feel like, I wish I had something magical, just take the sayyil akhlaq, israf an. But the best way the mother and father can do is make this dua. Allahumma israf sayyil akhlaq min ibni, or min binti, or min zawji, or min zawjat. You can make this dua that, oh Allah, take away the bad akhlaq from Fulan, or from Kada. When you make dua for someone else, Allah accepts. And that's what we mean by Al-Hadi, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin. Then we have the other name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today is Al-Quddus, the sacred, from Taqdis, Quds. Meaning Allah is the holy, the sacred. Meaning Allah deserves from us respect, honor. We should feel shy from being rude to Allah. We should feel embarrassed from disobeying Allah. This is the meaning of Quddus. Meaning when the mu'min, when the believer, when he or she makes in their dua this name, Ya Quddus, Ya Quddus, Irhamni. When they say Ya Quddus in their dua, يَعْتَرِفُونَ, they are making acknowledgement that, oh Allah, you are very holy, you are very sacred, you are very honorable. So on one side they are saying you are holy and sacred and honorable, and the other side they are making sins, they are making zunub. Contradicting. It's like when you give honor and prestige to someone, you shy in front of them. Do you feel good in cursing in front of your father or grandfather or mother or grandmother? No. This is the meaning of taqdis. مَهْمَا كَبُرَتْ. No matter how much the maqam of someone increased, your taqdis increases variably. Meaning you might once in a while slip and say a curse in front of your brother, same age, or sister, same age. But when a mother comes in, when the father comes in, you get upright, you get strict. You say, oh no, watch out, don't let your guard down. Why? Because it's taqdis, respect, honor, sacred, holiness. I mean, when it comes to this human being, mother and father, imagine when Allah is Al-Quddus, how much respect you are supposed to give Him. Allah Al-Quddus, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Zul-Jalal wal-Ikram, He deserves from us the utmost, highest point of respect and honor. Meaning, when can we use this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In khalwa, when we are alone. Because shaitan attacks a single Muslim the most. So when you're alone, when you're in isolation, when you're lonely, and you feel that waswasa, wasawasa of shaitan is coming alive, say this name, Ya Quddus, Ya Quddus, zikr. 3 times, 7 times, 11 times. Very, it should be odd. There's no fixing of the number. Because Rasulullah said, إِنَّ اللَّهُ وِتْرٌ وَيُحِبُّ الْوِتْرُ. Allah is witr, odd, and He loves odd. So stay away from the even numbers. You want to make wird or zikr of any of the names of Allah, make it odd. 1, 3, 5, 7, 11. When you make this, when you're sitting alone, you have waswas of shaitan, you make this zikr of Allah's name, Ya Quddus, Ya Quddus, you'll see automatically all the waswas begin to wither. Because shaitan hates the Muslim when he or she makes zikr. And what zikr? Zikr of Allah's name, name of Allah, the one who made shaitan doomed. So this is a protection. Meaning what the scholars taught us about this name, Quddus, this Allah, this name of Allah, is a protection device for us against the waswas of shaitan, especially when we're alone. Why I say alone? Because when there are two or three people sitting alone together, you are more reluctant and hesitant to do some sin, some crime or something. But when you're alone, there is nobody. This is why when there's nobody, shaitan is right away busy engaging in. And that's why Rasulullah's hadith comes to understanding. He says, when you're traveling, don't travel alone. Okay, travel with in a group, in a jama'ah. That he said, الْوَحَدُ شَيْطَانُ وَالْأَثْنَانُ شَيْطَانَانُ وَالْثَلَاثَةُ الْجَمَاعَةُ. This is the hadith of Rasulullah. He said, one person traveling alone is like a shaitan. He or she is very vulnerable to be attacked. Two is also, and three, he said, jama'ah, meaning now there will be protection. In the same way, he said, in terms of living, when you're living up in a house, an apartment, or a house, anyway, he said, don't live alone. Because if you're alone, you're most vulnerable to shaitan. And therefore, it's better to live with someone, a roommate, or another sister, or brother, whatever the case, so that there is deterrence. Because single person, single male or female, living alone, traveling alone, is most under the threat of shaitan. But, of course, there are emergencies. We're not saying here that there's a hard and fast rule to this. But if that is the case, that we have no choice and we have to travel alone or live alone, like is the case in this country in America, we should take leverage from these names of Allah. This is where these names of Allah, the Al-Quddus, As-Salam, the peace or giver of peace, Allah. Because when you say Al-Quddus, As-Salam, Al-Quddus, As-Salam, one, you're getting taqdis of Allah in your heart. Two, Allah is giving you peace. It's like killing two birds with one stone. You say Al-Quddus, Al-Quddus, As-Salam, As-Salam, Al-Quddus. So Allah is giving you respect, His respect in your heart. So once you develop respect of Allah more in your heart, you will automatically stay away from any waswasa of sin or any problem. Because you have so much respect. And if when you're saying Salam, As-Salam, As-Salam, Allah is giving you peace and tranquility at the same time. Next name for today we have is Al-Barr. Al-Barr al-Tawwab. We took Tawwab before. But this name is used a lot together, Al-Barr wa Tawwab. Al-Barr, which is the giver of good, giver of piety. Like we have Al-Birr. Al-Birr is what? Piety, taqwa, iman. Al-Barr, meaning the giver, the source of all good. The giver of all good. Any good you want in this dunya. Good is a very big word. It encompasses everything. So whatever good you think of, you think of this name of Allah, Al-Barru, 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 and you can use with Tawwab, Ya Barru Tawwab. Most of the riwayats tell us that these two names are made zikr together. Why? Because Tawwab means the acceptor of repentance. Tawwab, Yatubu ala nas. So he's the giver of good, and he accepts your tawbah. Because when are you looking for good? When you're miskeen, when you're daif. You have sinned, you have wrong, so you want forgiveness from Allah. Allah gives you forgiveness. And by the same token, He gives you good. Whatever good it could be. Good in life, good in money, good in education, good in career, good in family life, good whatever the case may be. Al-Barru Tawwab, Al-Barru Tawwab. That's why in the Quran also you'll see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name will come together. Like Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ كُنَّ مِنْ قَبْلُ نَدْعُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْبَرُّ الرَّحِيمُ. In Surah 2, Surah 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells in verse 28 that about the people, they used to make dua, إِنَّا كُنَّا مِنْ قَبْلُ نَدْعُوهُ. Before, because the ayah as it's going, sequence of the ayah is going, is talking about the people who are going into Jannah. What did they do that they earned Jannah? So the next ayah, which is this one, Allah SWT in Surah 2, He talks about them. Allah narrates about the people who made it to Jannah. Those who made it to Jannah, Allah is talking about them saying that they will say in Jannah. In Jannah they'll say, when other will ask them, how did you get to Jannah? Like in this dunya, when we are in school, in college, and our classmate gets A+, gets 100 out of 100, gets a 4.0 GPA, valedictorian. The other student who's weak, he or she goes, can you tell me how did you get it? How did you organize your life? What did you do to get this point? And that is when they say, oh, I did this, I did this, I did this. In the same way, in Surah 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is depicting a picture about those people who will get to Jannah, and then they'll tell these people, oh, you know why I got to Jannah? Inna kunna min qablu nad'u. We used to make dua to Allah. We used to beseech Allah, plead to Allah, beg Allah. Inna kunna min qablu nad'u. Innahu huwal barrur rahim. Now the meaning of Allah's name is understood in this ayah. They're saying in the first part of the ayah, Allah is saying that they'll say, Inna kunna min qablu nad'u. Min qablu yani fi dunya. In the hayat of this dunya, we people who end in Jannah, they'll say, we used to make Allah dua to Allah. And that's why Rasulullah said, Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Rasulullah said, the dua is the ibadah. In another way, Rasulullah said, Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah. The brain of the ibadah. Why? Because in our body, yes, the heart is very important, but the brain is also very important. If you have no brain, you won't be in the dunya. You'll be in some other hospital, no brain. As we see so many people there. So that's why he said in this hadith, Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah. Dua, making supplication, making invocation, making dua to Allah is the crux, the core, the mantle of all your ibadah worship. And that is what these people are saying. That inna kunna min qablu nad'u. We used to make dua extensively, a lot, abundantly. This is one thing which is a silah al-mu'min. In another way, I say a dua silah al-mu'min. Dua is the weapon of the believer. We only ask Allah dua when we are weak, wahn, or da'if, or when we're in trouble. Accident on the road, Ya Allah, make dua. Somebody got sick, Ya Allah, make dua. Somebody in the trouble, make dua. Lost the job, oh, make dua. Have a divorce, oh, make dua. Meaning, if you look at it, the fitrah, tabi'at al-insan, fitrah of insan is, when you are in difficulty, you make dua. How many times you made dua when your life was, mashallah, nice, peaceful, luxury, no problem, no masaib, no mushkil, everything is blessed, the children, the kids are good, everybody is good, husband, wife, good, mother, father, everything is going perfect picture, and nobody is making dua. Because people think you only make dua when you need Allah. But here in this area, Allah SWT is saying that these people got to Jannah because they used to make dua to me in the good times more than the bad times. Because in the bad time, you're going to make dua anyway. Because you need Allah. Of course, everybody needs Allah. Even the most fasiq, most fajr person, like say Mr. Perry Rahman, even he will make dua to Allah when he is about to die. Which is human nature. But how many of us make dua when we are relaxed and enjoying a very nice life? Good wealth, good money, good education, good career, good life, no problems, no troubles. Huh? We make dua superficially at that time. If you want to tell if somebody is making dua in good time or bad time, see them in Salatul Jummah or Salatul Eid or some Salatul Jummah in the masjid, see them making dua. Okay, let's go. The hurrying in dua, the quicking in dua, no focus, no time. They're making dua to Allah, but they're looking right and left. Or they're leaving, or that cousin. Okay, what am I doing here? Let me finish. This is the dua of a person who is not in trouble. Because they have no focus, no concentration. Because if they were in taklif, in musibah, I bet you 1,000,000 times they will never be looking like this. They'll be so much concentrated. Ya Allah, Allah give. And this is what Allah is saying. If you want to know the meaning of Allah's name, Al-Barr, Al-Barr al-Rahim, Al-Barr al-Rahman, Al-Barr al-Tawwab, meaning Allah is the giver of good when you are good. When you're enjoying anything, He is giving you good. And of course, He's going to give you good when you're in trouble, because you're going to ask dua. So Allah SWT telling us about the sifat, sifa, quality of the people who made it to Jannah. Allah is saying, Inna kunna min qablu nad'u, innahu huwa al-barru rahim. We used to make dua extensively, a lot of dua. to Allah. And now we have found, now that we see Jannah, now we have found Allah, Al-Barru Rahim, the giver of good. Why? Because there's other riwayats of Rasulullah, he said, every time you make a dua, one sadaqah is written in your accounts book, your book. I mean, this is a very easy good deed. You don't have to spend anything. You don't have to exert any effort. Just moving of the lips of the tongue and you're getting good deed. So imagine if you ask dua 100 times in a day to Allah, any dua. It's not, I mean, maybe the next series of lecture they will do is how to make dua, what are the etiquettes of dua, what are the times that dua is most accepted, and what is really purpose of dua for a mu'min. We may discuss that like 2-3 Thursdays on that topic, because really, I mean, everywhere I go, we Muslims, we don't really know how to make dua. And the dua of the Sahaba Ridwanullah Ajmain used to shake the mountains. Yuzalzil al-jibal. Can you imagine how powerful dua that the Sahaba were making something, dua, and the mountain begins to shake. How powerful dua of Sahaba that they are miles away making dua and they get communication. That very famous incident, you know, of Sariya and Umar ibn Khattab. In the Khilafah of Umar ibn Khattab, he was going up the minbar on Yom al-Jum'ah for Khutbatul Jum'ah. Before the khutbah, when the Imam is going up the minbar, he is facing the Qibla. People are behind his back. As he's going up the minbar, he's saying, Ilal Jabal Yasariya. Ilal Jabal Yasariya. Ilal Jabal Yasariya. Three times he stepped on the minbar, three times he said that, then he turned around. And then he began his khutbah. And the khutbah had nothing to do with what he said before. What was he saying? He's saying, to the mountain, Ilal Jabal, to the mountain, Yasariya. Sariya Ritalanu was the commander-in-chief of a platoon battalion that was fighting in Damascus. And where is Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab? He is in the headquarters of Islam in Medina. He's in Masjid Nabawi climbing the minbar and he's saying, Ilal Jabal Yasariya, three times. And when Sariya Ritalanu came after some months back, few months back, when he came back to Medina, people got to him and said, did you hear Umar ibn Khattab? He said these words. He said, yes, I heard it as if I thought the Amir al-Mu'min was behind my back. So they asked him why. He said, I was in trouble. The Adu, enemy, was in front of me. I had no place behind me. There was no place to go. I made dua to Allah. And the next thing I hear is Amir al-Mu'min, Umar ibn Khattab, telling me to the mountain. In front is enemy. Behind you, enemy. Where to go? Go to the mountain. So then you'll be saved. And he said, when we went to the mountain, we were able to regroup and then fight off the enemy. And now we came Ghazi, successful, back to Medina. And we see Umar ibn Khattab. This is the power of dua. He's in the battle. I mean, people will be asking, not dua, people will be looking for ammunition. Give me missile, give me this, enemies there. He just made dua. Ya Allah, ansurna. And Amir al-Mu'min, thousands of miles away. Difference of between Damascus and Medina, big difference. They didn't have what iPods and what these things and, you know, gadgets, Palm Pilots and internet and cell phones and satellite phones. No, Sariya had nothing, no communication. What's he gonna do? But he had the most lightning speed of communication, which scientists even today cannot invent. No matter how fast these machines are, they still cannot invent such a machine that has instantaneous reply. Sariya is making dua in Damascus. And Umar ibn Khattab is saying voice activation. Can you imagine? Voice activation technology back in the time of Umar ibn Khattab. He is saying in Medina, in closed walls, to the mountain or Sariya. Sariya says, I hear him as if he's behind my back. You get the best phone today, they say, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? No, I can't hear you. Why? All this, the power of dua. Now we understand the meaning of Hadith of Salam. Ad-du'a huwa mukhul ibad. This is why it's the mukh of ibad. And that's what Allah was saying. But ask me, al-barru, al-wahhab, in the sense of the giver of mobility and peace and tranquility, the source of all good, the source of all peace and tranquility. And that's what Allah is saying. That he, when Allah is saying he's al-barr, he's also al-wahhab. Why? Because al-barr, like I said, is the source, giver of good. So when Allah gives the good, the source of good, when the good is coming, who bestows the good upon human beings? And then insan mu'minin, al-wahhab. Wahhab meaning the bestower, the giver, the tranquilizer, the peaceful. Meaning it's not sufficient just to give good. What if Allah just gives good? It doesn't reach to us. Allah makes sure that the good comes and it reaches you and you receive it and you utilize it. This is the meaning of Wahhab, from Wahab. And the other names that are also related in relation with this, Allah says in the dua in the Quran, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. What are we asking in this dua, which is in the Quran, in Surah Al Imran, verse 8, Allah is saying that the dua you're making is, رَبَّنَا, O our Lord, لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا, don't let our hearts be changed. بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Al-Hadi, the name of Allah, He guided us. After you have given us guidance, Ya Allah, هَدَيْتَنَا, don't let the heart go towards deviance and bad things. وَهَبْ لَنَا, هَبْ meaning bestow upon us, give us, seal it in the heart. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً, give us rahmah, peace and mercy. Such mercy that after we have got that guidance in our heart, the mercy overcompasses, overwhelms the heart in such a way that it doesn't, the guidance doesn't run away or go away. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. And there are so many ayats in the Quran, we move on forward. In relation to these names, we have some more. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Kareem, Al-Akram, Ar-Ra'uf. All these names are interconnected together. So we'll cover all them in one shot. Ar-Rahman, the most beneficent. Ar-Rahim, the most merciful. Al-Kareem, the most generous. Karama, Kareem. That's why you have names like Abdul Kareem. Kareem comes, it's the sigha mubalagha of karam. Karam means generosity. But when you have kareem, ala wazni fa'il, meaning you have the most, meaning utmost. There is no more generous anyone more than Allah the Kareem. So this is good to ask in dua. When you see, the purpose of knowing these names, memorizing these names and understanding the meanings, is we use them. Use them in our daily life. And the best you can use them in your daily life is in your dua. Ya Rahmanu, Ya Rahimu, Ya Kareemu, Ya Raufu, Ya Hannanu, Ya Mannanu, A'atini Hada, A'atini Kada. Whatever you're asking for, when you're praying to Allah, when you're asking dua to Allah, you need something in dire need, use these names of Allah. Memorize these names, and that's when you'll see the utilization of these names. Because Allah is the most generous, and you're asking something, how on earth will Allah not give it to you? And that is what Allah SWT is saying. Ask me with my names. Because if you just stick on one thing, Allah, 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 yeah, that's good enough. That's not better than what we can do more. That Ya Kareemu, Ya Rahmanu, Ya Rahimu, Ya Raufu, Ya Barru, Ya Wahhabu, Ya Hannanu, Ya Mannanu. And Kareem in the sense of the giving. That, remember we said that before, we covered in this series the name of Allah SWT, Al-Ghani, Al-Ghaniyu, Al-Mughni, the rich. Here also Kareem in the sense that, you know, no matter how generous somebody is in this dunya, one day their resources will deplete, will finish. Even if you have a millionaire, if the millionaire stands out, says, from today, every day I'm just going to keep on giving money, until I run out. It's not going to be ended, it's going to run out someday. If he just stands up and says, okay, today I want to finish up all my $1 million. Line up from 6 in the morning till 12 midnight, I just want to give money. So one point they come, the million will finish. So now is he still Kareem? What can he give? When we say Allah Kareem, meaning Allah's source, Khazan Allah never finishes. That's what Allah says in the Quran, Surah Taghabun. وَلِلَّهِ الْخَزَائِنُ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That's the to Allah belongs the خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, meaning Allah's khazana, Allah's treasury is beyond the heavens and the earth. And then Allah says at the end of the ayah, وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. Those who have hypocrisy in their mind and heart, they are the ones who think that Allah's treasure will finish. Amma mu'min, they have firm belief. Because mu'min is matawakkil Allah, they are firm believe that Allah's treasure will never finish. You can ask Allah as much as you want, and Allah will never get tired of giving. In this dunya, somebody is giving, like you go for donation, you go for fundraising, you say, brother, I give so much. Last year I gave you like $50,000 in the masjid. You're still asking me more? That shows you from the fitri nature of insan, that when they give, you say, oh, you come again. But when Allah is Al-Kareem, Al-Hannan, Al-Mannan, Al-Ra'uf, He never gets tired of giving. In fact, he loves to give. And he wants to keep on giving. We are the ones who are foolish that don't ask Allah enough. We are very, very stingy. When we come to asking Allah, we say, just give me this much. That's why Rasulullah said, he said, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ فَاسْعَلُوا الْفِرْدَوْسِ فَاسْعَلُوا الْفِرْدَوْسِ He said in his hadith, if you ask Allah's mother for Jannah, don't be stingy. Don't be bakhil. Don't just ask, oh Allah, just get me into the door of Jannah. That's enough. Or even if I just sit next to the window of Jannah, I am good enough. I was good in dunya. No. Be generous in asking. Be wise in asking. And he's saying, when you ask Allah for Jannah, ask him for Firdaus, the highest maqam. The maqam of Firdaus is such that you will see and talk to Allah on a daily basis. Can you imagine? What a beautiful place. Every day you see Allah. Every day. Salaamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Salaamu alaikum. And those who are on the first level of Jannah, they will only get to see Allah and talk to him on Friday. Every Friday, as the hadith tell us. Meaning yes, there is differences between the levels of Jannah. That's why Allah is saying strive, strive in this dunya so that you get the highest level of Jannah. But some people, they want to settle for the less. Just give me the first level, it's good enough. I'll just see you on Friday every day. Every Friday. You can see Allah every day. Why settle for Friday? And that's what Allah is saying. أَنَا الْكَرِيمُ فَأَيْنَ السَّائِلِينَ I am the Kareem, the most generous. In another hadith, hadith Qudsi, Allah SWT says to Rasul, أَنَا الْجَوَّادُ الْكَرِيمُ Jawad from Jude, from generosity. Meaning the word Jawad comes from Jude, which means treasury. So Allah is saying in that hadith Qudsi that I am the treasury and I never get tired of giving. Is there anyone to ask me? People may get tired of asking Allah, but Allah never gets tired of giving. And that is why we have the same mentality. Like in this dunya, if we ask someone for a favor once or twice, the third time you are reluctant, you're hesitant. Oh no, I don't want to disturb that bro. I already asked them so many times in the past, what they're going to say, it keeps coming back and back again. It's human nature. In this dunya, you're like that. But when it comes to Allah, you can't be like that. You never should be reluctant or hesitant to ask Allah. Rather, Allah should be the first to ask all the time. And you know that Allah is always waiting for you to ask. Yes, of course, people sometimes say, well, why can't just Allah give without asking? Yes, Allah can give without asking. But Allah loves your asking because in that there is what? Hubb, wal-uns, wal-rifq ma'Allah. Hubb meaning love, you develop love with Allah when you're asking. Wal-uns, attachment, and rifq, gentleness, affection. You know how good you feel when you ask for something from Allah and Allah gives you? At that moment, how strong you feel in your man? How exhilarated, exuberant, you know? Very happy you feel. Oh, I asked for this, Allah gave me. He listened to my dua and people start jumping up and down. Like this sister, she was looking for something for some time. I told her, ask this dua. The moment that I remember a few weeks or months later, whenever she got that, she was calling at home and my wife, and she was like, my wife was saying, you could talk to the phone by putting the phone over there. You don't need to put it in your ear. That's how happy she was. And you can tell that when we ask Allah, He loves. If we are so much happy by getting it, imagine how much happy Allah is by giving it. And He wants to give. He wants you to come closer to Him. Because through giving, He gets you closer to Him. Because when you are away from Allah, how are you going to receive anything? If my son is very far away from me, how am I going to give him all the time? But if my son is always there in front of me, in my house, I'm going to always give him. You know, for those of us who are away from our parents, they are back there, on home, overseas, we are here, far away. As much as they want to give, the frequency is little. So that's the same concept with Allah. When Allah gives you more, He's bringing you closer. He's bringing you closer. And that's when you reach the daraja, maqam, where bidun su'al, without asking, Allah gives you. That's why people ask me sometimes, why do we have to always ask Allah? Why can't Allah just give me without asking? Yes, there will come a time when Allah will just give you without asking. But you have to strive to reach there. That level we call Muqarrabin. Remember we took that a couple of weeks ago. The other name we have is Al-Fattah. Fattah meaning Fattah, opening. Whenever you are in Musiba, Mushkil, you know, like, there is no way out, there's no outlet, you have tried every door, you have tried everything, you don't find any opening, any leverage, any way to solve your problem. This is one of the names of Allah's use. Ya Fattahu, Iftah Lana Farajan. O Allah, the opener, open us and opening. Open us and opening in this problem, in this difficulty, in this obstacle, this hurdle. this work of ours, this amr, or this affair or object or work of ours is stuck. I can't get through. Like you try to apply to a college, you want to get in that college, there's no way getting in. Everything is getting difficulty and obstacle and closing. Ask Al-Fattah. Ya Fattah. The other one we have, we covered this before. Yeah. Al-Hayyul Qayyum. We said Allah is Allahu la ilaha illa huwa Al-Hayyul Qayyum, the ever living and everlasting. And Allah is Malik al-Mulk, the owner of the sovereignty and dominion. He is the owner of the whole universe. And we covered the others. Zul Jalali wal Ikram. Allah, to whom belongs the sovereignty and might and authority. And also Allah is Al-Wakil. Allahu khaliq kulli shay wa huwa ala kulli shayin wakil. Allah is the truster, in entruster. We entrust everything upon Allah. Tawakkal Allah. So Allah is the Wakil, the owner and the truster, that we trust upon Him and put everything upon Him in our aspects. That brings us to, I guess we covered most, best to my knowledge, we covered most of all the names. Yes, Al-Mughisu, the sustainer, we have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we say, sustainer in the sense, continuity of resources. This name of Allah is used a lot in famine, in drought. Ya Mughisu, Aghisna Ya Allah. The O Allah, O the sustainer, sustainer, give us rain, give us prosperity, give us opening from this difficulty and hardship. And yeah, the other names we had is Al-Mubdi'u, Ibda. Al-Mubdi, originator. The originator of anything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the one way is Allah is originator, Mubdi, and He's also Al-Badi', the continuation, preserving and continuing that thing of that has been started. And that's why in that aspect Allah is incomparable. There's no one Badi' as-samawat wal-ard. Meaning nothing can be compared to the dominion and the authority and the maqam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammad. So that brings us to the end of this.